So why don't we go ahead and start? It sounds like you all have logged yourself onto the CareFinder website. In the event that you have not, the address is www.alz.org/carefinder, and that's all one word, CareFinder. And that will get you to the welcome page of the CareFinder. This is a website that we developed as part of the Campaign for Quality Residential Care, which is a initiative that we've been involved with for a few years now, which has focused primarily on nursing home care and assisted living. However, we do know that the majority of people remain at home throughout the course of the disease, and so the CareFinder is much broader and covers the full array of long-term care services and helps to provide assistance and information wherever you are throughout the course of the disease. This was developed in collaboration with the Administration on Aging and the Elder Care Locator, and is funded in part by the Administration on Aging. And it is one of the consumer education components that are part of our quality care campaign initiative. It took a year and a half to develop, and as I've learned about websites, we could still be tweaking and improving. There's all sorts of things that once you get into it, you decide, oh, we need this and we should add that, and you just can't help yourself sometimes. We did a fair amount of testing with those that we see as our primary users, which are persons in the early stages of dementia, families, and professionals. So in our testing, we learned a fair amount about how we should organize the website, the content that we should have, the look and the feel, and navigation. So I'll be pointing out some of those things along the way. So if you're looking at the welcome page, you will see that what we have is different sections. So we have the welcome page, then we have planning ahead, care options, coordinating care and support, and resources. And below, kind of in the main part of the page, we sort of break those out, and under each one of those, we have various topics, which are pages within each section. So for planning ahead, there's evaluating ability, legal planning, paying for care, and taxes. What we found in some of our testing is that some of the users were saying, I want to be able to go onto the website, find what I need, get it, and leave. So people have a need to be able to find what they need fairly quickly, get it, and then be able to move on. And then on the other end of the continuum, there are those that want to linger. So for those that want to be able to get in and get out, we structured it in such a way so that if you take your mouse and scroll over the words under each heading, you'll see that each one is a link to that particular page within the website. You can go ahead and click on the one that says evaluating ability, and you'll see that it will take you to that particular page. And I'll just have you go back to the welcome page so I can kind of discuss what's in each of these. The planning ahead section was something that was recommended by folks with dementia, primarily saying that they want to know what they need to do to be able to plan for the future and plan for their needs. So we first talk about the fact that as much as somebody can be involved in their own care and in their own life, they need to be. And along the way, there are ways in which to evaluate a person's ability to participate and be involved. And we talk about the criteria that a court would look at as far as competency and capacity. The legal planning section talks about advance directives, wills and estates, and how to find an attorney. The paying for care section talks about some of the costs that you may encounter during the course of the disease, and then options, what may be available as far as paying for care, and then how to apply for Medicaid. And then the last page within that section is on taxes, and our policy division did a great job in doing a review of state tax credits and deductions that are available to pay for long-term costs, caregiving, that would be in addition to the federal tax credit and deduction. So we have some of that available there, as well as a fact sheet that outlines kind of state by state what sort of things are available within that state. And we are in no way, you know, in a role to be a tax advisor, but what we do is just sort of point the user in that direction and say, here's something that you can learn more about. And so that's something that, at least, you know, to create more awareness. Before I move on, are there any questions about that particular section? And it's, I think it's #6 to unmute.
Yes.
Okay. Move on.
And what I'm thinking is I'll just kind of go through these sections, and then we'll have questions after as well, and we can talk about all kinds of ways in which to use this. So in the care options, oh yes.
Oh, I don't have a question. I was just saying that sounds great.
So. Oh, good. All right. In the care options section, if you just click on that and just get right directly to that section, you'll see the way that we have the each section laid out. There's different ways in which to navigate within it. We've got the next arrow, which is to your right, the upper right, or at the bottom of the page. And we also have on the left side, there's navigation that you can just go directly. If you see a topic that you want to learn more about, then you can just click on that and go directly to that. So in the section, if you go to the left navigation, and you'll see types of care. If you click on that, we have a sort of an outline that'll take you to different parts within the page, because it's kind of a longer page. And essentially what we do is we describe the kinds of things that are available within these very broad categories of care. So home and community care, if you click on that, you'll see that we talk about, you know, the fact that you can have homemaker services, adult daycare, transportation. And then if you want to learn more, that will actually link you to a fact sheet that we have that is more in-depth. And it was a piece that was given to us through the Elder Care Locator. And we also recommend throughout the website that to find out about more of the services in your community, to contact the local chapter or the Elder Care Locator. One thing I didn't mention initially is what this website is not. It does not provide names or agencies of specific providers. But it will help to provide some direction of what kinds of care options are available, where to go to learn more about particular providers and specific names, and just how to communicate, coordinate care throughout the time that you need to be involved. The residential care section just covers the different kinds of names that you might come across and how to sort of categorize it. You know, so assisted living can cover a number of different types of care. And then we also have ways in which to learn more if you click on that blue link. And then with the nursing homes, we just provide some general information about the kinds of services and care that you could get in a nursing home. And then one of the things I wanted to draw particular attention to is special care units and the disclosure laws. What we have at this point is there's 27 states and soon to be, I believe, 28 states that have particular disclosure laws around special care units so that you as a consumer of care have a right to know what makes that care so special. So if you go to the very bottom of the page, you'll see a map, a state-by-state laws map. You'll see a map of the U.S. And if your state is purple, you can click on it, or you can use the drop-down menu. And on in that, you will see the coverage type. So if it's that it's for all special care units in all facilities, or if it's in particular types like assisted or nursing home, and then it provides the items to be disclosed to the consumer, and those are things that it's just one more way in which to inform the consumer about some of the laws that are in place in their state and things that they have a right to know about and things that they can ask for. And if you click on one of them, you'll see that it opens up into a window, and then there's a print option, so it will provide you a version that can then be printed. And this is all based on data that our policy division got when they did a comprehensive review state by state of the legislation on special care unit disclosure. So that's available on this website. The next page is recognizing good care, and if you click on that, essentially what we have here are some of the guiding principles of good dementia care, and then the association's recommendations based on our campaign for quality residential care. And if you look at the guiding principles and you look at the second one, one of the hallmarks of good dementia care is knowing the person, not just knowing the disease that they have or their diagnoses, but to know as much about them, about their family, about their life as possible. And what we have is a blue link, and it's at this point it's personal facts, and if you click on that, it'll open up a PDF, and it's a form that anyone can complete. It can be a person who is in the early stages who wants to complete it about themselves, family, or an agency can make it part of their intake, and it's a way at getting at some of those unique things about the person. And this is something that I would encourage anyone to use, print it out, take it out on the road, share it at, you know, any opportunity you think it would be helpful. It's just one more tool to help people as they're planning for care and wanting to inform those that are care providers, paid care providers, more about the person that they are taking care of. So that is one thing that's on this website. In addition, we have each of these orange buttons further expands that particular principle, and it just provides a way that you can apply it as opposed to it just being this lofty principle. This is a way in which you can actually use this in day-to-day care. So feel free to explore this page. Another page here that I wanted to draw your attention to is the screening care providers. So if you click on that and get to that page, we provide some information about how to interview, assess if this is going to be a good match for your particular needs and your particular situation. So for home care, we talk about, you know, the different kinds of home care that's available. So somebody that's, you know, a homemaker will not be somebody that can provide bathing. So it's just trying to tease that out a bit more. And then also things that you can do while you are interviewing and screening. And then in the residential care section, we talk about evaluating nursing homes and refer folks to use Nursing Home Compare. And we have a blue link there that will then link them directly to the Nursing Home Compare website through Medicare. And we also have kind of a brief tutorial on how it works and what you would expect to see when you log on and go to that site. So if you scroll down a bit more, you'll see a screenshot of the Nursing Home Compare website. And each of those tabs, if you just roll the mouse over those tabs, overview about home quality, and you click on one, you'll see that it'll open up to a window that provides a brief description about what would be in that particular section and the kinds of things that you could expect to learn by using this website. And we're hoping that by having this, it will really encourage folks to then go and explore and use the Nursing Home Compare website. We also have, if you scroll down a bit more, under the information on your state's nursing home and assisted living facilities, we have the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program, and that's a blue link as well. And if you click on that, it will link you to the National Citizens Coalition for Nursing Home Reform's website. And on there, they have a map of the states. And if you click on your state, then you will learn about who your ombudsman is and how to contact them. So we provide some of those links throughout the website. So what we'll do is we'll go to the next page within this, and it's the personal care finder. And if you click on that, you'll get to the personal care finder. And I'm going to stop to make sure that everyone gets to that, because this is going to be a this is one of the main features within the website and requires some time, and it provides some personal, customized information that the user can then print out and use as they're trying to screen and assess care providers and facilities. So has everyone gotten onto that page, the personal care finder page?
Yes.
Great.
Yes, I have a question.
Yeah.
This is Jeffrey in Texas.
And, okay.
At our grantee meetings, we've had some discussions about the lack of access to hospice care for Alzheimer's patients
okay.
or the access to that care too late. And I was wondering, is hospice care identified on the care finder anywhere? I've not seen it.
Yeah, it is, but not as well as we need to. So that is one of the things that we will be expanding. So you bring up a very good point. This is, you know, year one, and we looked at trying to provide some of the basic sorts of things, but we definitely need to expand on that.
Liz, this is Ashlyn. I have another question. Is the personal care finder designed in a way that people in the early stages could use it themselves?
Yes. And I will show you that. So essentially, with the personal care finder, it is it does not store what the person puts into it, and so essentially, what you need to do is you need to make sure that you have enough time in one sitting to complete it, and you need to have a printer. And we had talked about, you know, the benefits, the drawbacks of storing personal, private information, and at this point we chose not to have any kind of cookies or any ways in which to track or have a database that can store things. And one of the benefits of that is that over time somebody's needs can change, and so we want to be able to have this be as accurate and as in the moment as possible. So by essentially, you know, asking the user to go through it again, will sort of essentially ensure that folks are completing it about the person or about themselves in the moment. So if you click on the button that says Begin Care Finder, I'm going to do kind of a demo, but feel free that in your own time, your own spare time, come back to this and complete it about somebody that you know, either a client that you've been serving or somebody in your own life, to really see how it works. But for the purposes of the call, when you look at the field that says name, if you just type in the name, Mrs. Green, and it's so MRS, period, and then green as in the color, then you'll advance the screen. So you'll go to the next button, and essentially it will pre-fill the answers or the responses that we have put in about her. She's not real, but means a lot to us because she's been somebody that we've used throughout the testing. So just so I can show you the first page, if you click back to the previous screen, you can see that there's a question that starts off, are you completing this for yourself? And if you are, you would click yes, and then all of the wording, the verbs, would then be changed so that it's customized for you. So instead of it saying, "Is, you know, does Liz need such and such," it would be, "Do you need?" So it'll be more focused so that I don't have to think of myself in the third person. So that's one of the things that we have. On this first screen, we just ask about some of the basic things, including what is the language of preference that the person prefers to speak. So what is their primary language? And then any kind of special instructions, the name of the doctor, that sort of thing. So then you can advance to the next screen. And you'll see that there's a list of diagnoses. So you can complete that. And one of the things that we encourage the user to do on that very first screen that introduces you to this feature is that sometimes it is helpful to consult with your doctor before completing this so that you are as accurate as possible and we provide a form, a PDF that they can download and use or have the doctor fill out when they go for a visit. So you can take some of what the doctor has and input it into the system. So then go to the next screen. And here is where we get at the person's abilities and needs. So we first look at personal care or activities of daily living. And for this, we use the CATS ADL scale, which has been around since the 70s. And we got the copyright permission to use that. So essentially, it breaks it down as does the person, are they independent, do they need assistance, or are they dependent? And this is something that we felt would communicate or come across well enough for the consumer as well as the provider, medical provider. So if you click on the next, we go from bathing, now we're at dressing, then click next, it's toileting, next is transfer, then continence, eating, and then now we're in daily tasks or IADLs, and for this we use the Lawton IADL scale. So we're looking at telephone use, shopping, food preparation, housekeeping, laundry, mode of transportation, responsibility for own medication, ability to handle finances. And then this next one, we look at the stages of dementia, and this is the Riceberg scale, and he has been very involved with us. We use his stages as part of our fact sheet on the stages of dementia. And so for each of these, we have the Learn More box. So if you want to have more of a description about, well, what is mild cognitive decline, and does that really, is that a good description of my mother? Then you can click on that and get more of a detailed description and then decide if that describes her. Then if you go to the next screen, you'll see this is about special needs. And we look at physical needs, hearing impairment, vision impairment, speech, and then missing some or all teeth, so that would be kind of getting at dental issues. And throughout, we talk about is there this condition, and if so, are there any assistive devices that are used? And this is helpful in a number of ways. One is if you are a care provider, it's helpful to know before taking somebody for a walk that they need to have their cane. Or if they have something like a dental appliance or dentures, that is something that is likely to be needed at the time of meals, and it's something that a lot of times people tend to put aside and can be easily lost. So this is one way for care providers to sort of keep track. So then you can advance to the next screen. We have things about driving restrictions, falls risk, and then we have a piece at the bottom about wander risk. Our safety services staff advised that if a person is impaired at all, has any level of impairment and able to walk, that wandering can happen. So we didn't feel that it was appropriate to have that be a yes or no option, but instead tied the wander risk to the staging of the Riceberg scale. So if they fell between the stages 2 and 6, then they would be flagged as a wander risk. And you'll see at the end how that comes out. So go to the next screen. This talks about behavioral symptoms to just further describe. If you are somebody with dementia, pleading this about yourself, this would not be a screen that you would be asked to complete. So this would not come up. We talk about traumatic experience. We feel that this was very important in very recent times with the hurricanes. Just being aware of what has been a past or current life experience will be very helpful. Somebody had mentioned at one point about, you know, as a child, they were attacked by a dog. They had a physical attack by a dog. And so for somebody in that situation, pet therapy may not be a good thing. So it's helpful to know as much as you can about the person. So this is one way to get at that. If you go to the next screen, we talk about any kind of special health needs, such as daily injections or IVs or rehab, and then also provide a field for anything else that we may have missed. Then you can go to the next screen, which is the last thing that we ask, last but not least, and that is really trying to get at the preferences, and this is really trying to get at the things that mean the most as far as quality of life goes. Do you want to be somewhere where you can have your pet? Or do you want to be near family? If you're at home, do you want to have in-home meals that are kosher? Do you want to have a place that you go during the day that is, you know, deals with your own hobbies or your own interests? So this is a way in which to kind of outline those, and these are totally open fields because every one of us has different needs and preferences, and so this is one way in which to just kind of write freely, and then that comes out at the very end. So if you click on the next button, or the arrow, you will see that we come to the final, the results page. And if you click on the print page button, this would be your print version. And essentially, it's taken all that you've put into the system and has given you a customized printout. So firstly, it tells you when this was completed, so it provides a date at the top. And it talks about that she's a female and prefers to speak English. It gives the diagnoses. It then provides recommended care options, urges the person to call the chapter or the elder care locator to find out about particular providers within their community. And the fact that we know that many people remain at home throughout the course of the disease, we didn't want to just provide facility-based care, even if it's end of life. There's home health at end of life. So we provide the full array of options that would most likely meet your needs. But it is one way in which to direct the user so that when they do make that call, they know what to ask about. It describes the kinds of services that would be provided, how they're paid for. And then if you scroll down a bit more, then it gives the questions to ask. And this is where you have things that are much more focused on your particular needs. So the fact that we put in there that Mrs. Green needs assistance in bathing, dressing, and continence, we ask if their staff are able to provide assistance in those things. How will she receive those services? How is it paid for? Then the same thing with the daily tasks. The stage of dementia we talk about, are your staff trained to work with somebody who is in this stage? What kind of training do they have? And then we ask about the special needs, that she has these particular needs, and how will you address those particular needs? And then for the wander risk piece, we direct them to enroll in Safe Return. And then if you scroll down, we have the preferences piece. Are you or your staff able to accommodate these preferences, and how will you do that? So that's what's available on the printout after you've gone through the personal care finder. Are there any questions about this?
Any idea, you know, by grouping that since you launched the Care Finder, is it mostly individuals that are dialing in? Are you finding, you know, agency personnel? Do you have any general idea, even anecdotal, as to what kinds of people have been using it and what proportions?
The kinds of statistics that we capture are we have the number of hits, and then we can look at what pages within the website they tend to land on. And I have those statistics, and I'll be presenting those on a call next week. But it does break down that many people may, you know, come to the site. We've had over 30,000 hits to this since its launch on June 12th. And so many will come to the welcome page, but then as far as completing the personal care finder, I think that is around 2,000 or 3,000. So it does, you know, it does take some time, and it takes some effort to get through it. And I've heard back from a number of people that it's been, you know, helpful, or, you know, we've had, I'd say, probably 5 complaints about that the system hasn't worked particularly well for them, and we believe it has more to do with their personal setup, like with spam and those kinds of things. Like a spam blocker might cause some issues in storing the information while they're putting it in. But yeah, we've been able to track that. And I can provide that data to you, and then you can send it out to folks that are on this call.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Anything else?
Anybody else? The information that you're entering into this, none of it is stored. Is that right?
That's right.
Coffee, then you don't have it.
What did you say?
But it's designed to be printable, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But you need to have the print page. I think if you were to print what you see on the screen, it would still come out, but it might cut out some of the words. And the print version is much better. So why don't we just move on? I'll get us into coordinating care and just kind of hit on some of those highlights. In that section, we have a page called Knowing Care Providers, and if you click on that, a lot of us, if we're new in long-term care or we're just being kind of thrust into this because a loved one is needing more care, we may not know who all of these professionals are, what they do, their role on the care team. So this is one way in which the user can learn more about particular healthcare professionals and disciplines. So you can click on the Learn More button, and then it would give a more detailed description. So going from, you know, chaplain to charge nurse to DON, attorney, all of that. And all of these are included in a glossary that is under the support and resources section, which outlines and defines these care providers, as well as a lot of the terms and the jargon that's thrown around that the general public wouldn't maybe understand what it means. Under communication advice, we cover, you know, the broad range of, you know, how families communicate, how to work with paid help that's in the home, talking with the doctor, working with staff. And then at the very bottom of the page, we have this piece on creating a personal health record. And this is something that every one of us can do, and it's a good thing because we all tend to have multiple providers, and the right hand doesn't always know what the left hand is doing. This is one way in which to collect things and keep them all in one place. So you have a right to have certain things about that are from your own health records, and you can keep that either in a binder or there is software that's available as well. And we've learned about this, and this has been in conjunction with there's a Association of Health Information Management folks, and those are the ones that those are the professionals that represent medical records and know a lot about HIPAA. And so this has been a public awareness piece that they've developed, and so we provide that as some information. And if you're taking care of somebody or if you yourself have dementia, it is a way in which to collect things all in one place. So we provide a checklist just as a starter of things that you might want to collect.
Well, is that something that you would want to bring with you along with your personal care finder questions and whatnot when you're trying to...
Yeah, it's a great thing to have. It's just, you know, that's where you would have your list of medications, recent labs so that they don't draw blood again if it's not needed, you know, all of those things.
Right.
So, and then in the speaking up page, I'll just talk about that briefly. You don't need to click on that, or if you want to, that's fine. We just talk about your rights, how to communicate a grievance within a facility, and how to just work with the staff. And then we have a making changes page, which talks about, you know, throughout the years and throughout the course of the disease, there's multiple transitional points, and this just sort of gets at what do you do at those times? How do you change your home care provider? What do you do when you need to transfer to a different unit? What about, you know, if you're being discharged from the hospital? We have transition to hospice. So there's just some guidance on that page as well. And then if you click on the support and resources section, there's a page getting support, and we highlight the Alzheimer's Association, Elder Care Locator, and our chat rooms and message boards as being great sources of support. We have organizations that can help, and we provide links to different websites. In the fact sheets section, we have some new fact sheets, one being like in discharge planning, knowing your rights. So there's a fair amount there, and I urge you to explore that. And then we also have the glossary terms that can be used. So I know we're running short on time, so I want to be able to leave time for questions or comments. So at this point, I will end the demo.
Thank you very much, Liz.
Thank you.
Sure.
And who should people contact if they have questions about how to use CareFinder or if they're having computer problems with it?
They can call me directly. If it's at an off time, they can call the contact center, which is 1-800-272-3900. And they have some talking points about how to sort of talk through with the person if they're having difficulty. But for the most part, it comes to me. So we'll make sure that everyone has my contact information.
That's great. Well, I'm sure you'll be busy with those 30,000 people.
You know, what's amazing is truly out of 30,000, because we know the numbers, I've gotten probably less than 10 calls, letters, emails of complaint about, you know, something hasn't worked. And by and large, it's been the user or the system that they have. And it's because we've chosen not to store and use a cookie tracking system for that those things have come up. So that's good news.
Are there any other questions from any of the grantees? No?
One of the things I thought I would mention is that we would welcome any and all of you to link to us, and you can just go ahead and do that, and you can have just a text link, and it would just be, you know, with the words Alzheimer's Association Care Finder. This is something that, you know, needs to be out there, needs to be used. It's, you know, of no use if people don't know about it. It's a resource for you as you're seeing people. Not everyone has a computer, so this is one tool, and a lot of things are available in print. So if you go to the fact sheets section, you'll see that there's a lot there. And the PDFs that I've talked about throughout the website are all there. And just, you know, feel free to use it. And if you come up with things or you say, gosh, I wish there was more about, like you had said, on hospice, please let me know, because we are in year two at this point, and we do have some funding available to make some changes and add to the content. So we would love to hear from you. And then another direction that we're exploring is looking at different languages and seeing how useful that would be, and what sorts of content, or if it would just be a complete replication of the Care Finder in Spanish or something. So there's all kinds of plans, new directions.
Liz?
Yes.
This is Peggy in Washington, D.C., and I work with a home care agency that takes care of seniors through a grant through the D.C. Office on Aging. And we are using the resources for our local Alzheimer's Association, which is in Virginia. And they give us brochures on a regular basis so that we can assist our seniors who do have, and the family members, who are caring for a senior with Alzheimer's. So we have plenty of brochures from the Alzheimer's Association and their services, including Safe Return. Sure. Now, is there going to be a brochure that we will be able to get to pass out to our caregivers or seniors who need this information, just on how to access all the services for the Care Finder?
You know, we have an informational card that's available. So what I can do is send to Ashlyn how you would go about getting that, if you need to go through the chapter or if you can just go directly to our e-store. I'm not sure exactly how that works, but we have things available for you to use to give out.
I would appreciate that, because in the National Family Caregiver Support Program, most of the caregivers are looking for, you know, resources, and this would be really helpful to pass that information out to them when we make our home visits.
Absolutely. And that's Peggy Nelson in Washington, D.C.?
Yes.
Okay. I will contact you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Great suggestion.
Thank you, Liz.
You bet.
Liz, this is Tracy in Montana with Aging Services, and I may have overlooked it, but I don't see a lot on respite care. Anything, I mean, there's a few things in regards to caregivers specifically. I see the fact sheet on caregiver stress and that kind of thing. But am I missing a category here that tells a little more about what respite care is?
No.
Okay.
It's something that is on our list of things to add or to further enhance, because that is critical. One of the things, and I would love to hear from you all, the term respite, some feel that that's sending the wrong message, that it's about, you know, it's about the person as well. But I would welcome any way in which to categorize it so that it's meaningful.
And here we're shifting that definition to caregiver support, whereas respite is a component of that, and I do think caregiver support is a better way to frame it. So point taken on that.
Okay. Great.
I had one other question, just because I'm going to throw this out there. I have been looking all over for information about aging and sexuality, and I do see a fact sheet on here. So I'm going to throw it out anytime I can ask if I can get a direction to go to find out more information, if anybody knows anything.
Well, we have, if you go to our main website, we have a resource list, and I believe it is on specifically that top.
It is. I just looked at it the other day, and it's pretty easy to find from the front page of the Alzheimer's Association website.
Great. So just go to the resources section, and we have a bibliography. We have a lot of things available in our own library here.
And a lot of the bibliography is linkable as well, so you can find those resources just by clicking on them.
Perfect. Thank you.
Welcome.
All right. Well, it's time to wrap it up, but thank you, Liz, so much for joining us, and I will we'll figure out the best way to distribute your contact information in case anybody on the call has more questions.
That'd be great.
All right. So I will contact you afterwards. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for attending and for making it easy on me for my first teleconference. And
congratulations.
Thanks. Hopefully we'll see all of you in about 3 weeks. So.
Great.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.